Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. How many of us are free this morning? Well, we got a song for you if you're actually free. So let's play that. Than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. Hey. I want to jump higher than before. Let me hear you shout louder. Come on and sing.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
For freedom. Before. I want to sing a little louder than before.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh. I want to be wilder than before. Yeah. One more time. Let me hear you shout loud. Just come on. Give God the loudest shout for freedom. Come on.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
For freedom. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's go back to the verse just one more time. Come on. I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. Time, give God the loudest shout you got. Come on and let's sing it out.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
Oh, Father God.
Freedom.
Thank you for freedom, Lord.
Freedom.
I've got my freedom. No more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah. Come on and sing it out if you believe you have your freedom. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah. Come on, sing it if you believe it. You are free, hallelujah.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage.
Good. Doesn't that feel good? Now come on, just move around. You can move around. Say hello to your neighbor. Just get excited for your freedom. Come on, guys. All right, let's start at the verse just one more time.
I wanna clap the loud and then before. I wanna sing a little loud and then before.
For freedom.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom. Freedom.
I've got freedom. Yeah.
Freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
Come on and sing it out.
Freedom. Freedom.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. Sound amazing. Come on, let's just sing it out to our Father.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free.
Yeah. Come on, if you're free, let's get excited for God. Thank you, Jesus, for our freedom.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free.
Come on and repeat that real quick.
Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
My highest praise goes to you,
hallelujah.
Father God, because I'm free.
Thank
you, Lord, for my freedom.
Hallelujah,
for my freedom. Thank you, Jesus, I am free. Come on, let's sing it out. Let's sing freedom.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
If you truly believe that He's your way maker, come on and sing it out. Made a way out of no way.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Your word cannot come back void, and it says that you loved me, you provided Waymaker, for me when I couldn't provide for myself.
He's in my light in the darkness, my God.
Sing Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper,
hallelujah,
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
Come on, sing it out with everything that you have, because He's your way maker.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. In a way, it's so amazing.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Just take your moment, you and him. You don't have to go anywhere this moment, just you and Jesus. Talk to him, he's waiting to hear your voice. He wants to talk to you this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. One of the sad parts about pastoring is watching people try to find that satisfaction in all the places that you know they can't find it. It's amazing is because the devil uses what we call the rush, and what he'll do is you touch something that you know is not right, and you get a rush out of it, and it's exciting. But then after a while, it doesn't satisfy anymore, and you got to go deeper. You got to do something worse. You got to go in a different direction. Each time that you try that, you're going to find that it's very simple. That every time you try to find your satisfaction outside of Jesus, you will be satisfied for a short period, but then it's over. And then you got to look somewhere else. You know, that's why, you know, you've all heard it being taught in schools and stuff. Drug addiction never starts with the heroin. It usually starts with weed. All of a sudden, progression begins. Progression is how the enemy always works to keep you to himself. He'll get you satisfied for a short period, then your dissatisfaction comes, then he'll satisfy you with another bit of sin, dissatisfaction, satisfied, and all of a sudden you're so deep in sin, you're not even sure how you're going to get out. Today I want to challenge you. There's only one who can satisfy you. You can look everywhere else. You know, you heard me say this not too many weeks ago. I literally don't feel any different than when we had five people. Well, why is that? Because I've really learned that my satisfaction does not come because of the size church you have, because of your preaching and where you travel and your influence. You could have the greatest success and be the most miserable individual, because satisfaction isn't exterior. Satisfaction is interior. And that's when you find that only Jesus. You know, I was back in the man cave this week. I was away for a few days. Back in the man cave, walking around, he's just like, yeah, it's good. It's good. Where I pray in their garage. I'm out in their garage, and you know, I love their garage. It's a great place to pray, but nothing like stepping into home. Walking around my man cave, just talking with Jesus. What's that? Alexa, play Juanita Bynum. Up comes Juanita. Alexa, turn up Juanita Bynum. You hear the worship and the presence of the Lord. Folks, listen, if you get this now, you're way ahead of the game. He's the only one. No man and no woman can satisfy you. Money can't satisfy you. Fame can't satisfy you. There's only one. The quicker you learn that, the happier you're going to be, and your family will be too. Amen. Seek after Jesus, number one. Hey, why don't you go meet somebody you don't know this morning? Listen, that means you got to step out of your seat, go find somebody you don't know and say, well, good morning. My name is. We are a friendly church, which means if you're a guest here, you're one of our friends. We love you.
Hey family, has Jesus been a blessing to you this year? One of the things that you're going to find in Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. It says, freely as you've received, freely give. One of the things that we're going to be doing special is taking an offering specifically for Jesus, saying, happy birthday, King Jesus. These envelopes we're going to actually be handing out right inside your bulletin, and we'll be taking up the special offering on December 24th for our 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services. One of the things that we've been doing all throughout this year is talking about the generous church. This is your opportunity to live generously by giving back to Jesus.
Oh, Christmas tree, yes, sir.
Stay on topic.
Okie doke, sorry about that. Listen, we have our normal Christmas Eve services coming up, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We're having our Christmas production called Keep Christ in Christmas with a live nativity scene where we get to play with those aminals. Anyway, so make sure you're inviting your friends and your family to come out to our Christmas Eve services. Again, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., just normal Sunday service. And then Christmas Eve night at 7 p.m., we're having our candlelight service. So make sure you're inviting. Oh, I want to one out. Invite your friends, invite your family. Make sure you're here.
All right, Randy, we should probably figure out what our next Awaken Monthly is going to be.
Shouldn't we wait for Marcus?
Nah, it's okay.
Is he coming?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Since it's December, we should probably do something Christmas-themed. Any ideas?
Ugly sweater party!
That's perfect!
We should also do Christmas karaoke. That, with the sweaters, would be amazing.
All right, so we have sweaters, karaoke, some other games. What else?
Well, since we usually do some sort of prize, how about $50 to the best sweater?
I like it.
What was that?
To be here. It might be cold outside, but this is the place that you want to be on a Sunday morning, right? We just want to welcome you. If you're a guest in this house, we want to welcome you with a guest packet. Would you just raise your hand? No need to stand. We just want to bless you. We've got some information just to let you know about us, about what we do, what we believe. So if you are a guest, would you raise your hand? As well as if you're watching via live stream, welcome. We love you. We're so glad that you joined with us today. We're excited. Just to reiterate, I have three really short announcements. The first is that we are having a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. I know it kind of gets confusing because it is on a Sunday. So that morning we have our two services as usual, but that night we're coming back at 7 p.m. for a candlelight service. Then the next week after that, we have a New Year's Eve service as well at 7 p.m. So normal Sunday morning two services, jumping right into the New Year's Eve service at 7 p.m. And I don't think there's a better way to bring in the new year than right here in this place where we know God's presence is so strong. So I'm excited. If you're between the ages of 18 and 30 tonight, come out to our ugly sweater party. Free fondue. Where does that even happen? We have eggnog. We have karaoke, which, yeah, great. Awesome for karaoke. Anywho, we have that. We have games. We have cash prizes. You want to come, as well as we have a special, special guest speaker. So we're super excited. Come out. And if you are married, you are welcome, because we are married, so obviously. As well as if you have kids, we have childcare provided. We have amazing, amazing childcare workers that dedicate their Sunday nights to take care of your kids. So don't let having kids stop you from coming out and hanging out with some other young adults. So we're excited. So that's what's happening tonight. And I'm going to invite Pastor Rhonda up. We just got back from South Africa. It was so awesome. And she's going to talk about it a little bit. But I just wanted to share with you Oh, just kidding. She's going to share her testimony with you. But can you all tell that I took her home for a little bit? Her accent is nicely sharp again. Actually, Pastor Spencer said to me, I can tell you were at home. You're slurring your words. So I do apologize if you're like, I don't understand what she's saying. But it's what happened. But I just want to kind of share with you because the devil really just knows when to strike. And he did that with my life just before we were leaving for South Africa. Around Thanksgiving time, I noticed that I had incredible pain in my jaw and in my right facial area. And I really didn't know what was wrong. I kind of thought maybe I had a sinus infection. You know, I've had a cold, whatever. It's funny how we kind of play it off and we kind of enjoy like, oh, well, maybe it's just a cold. But Jesus died for that. But anywho, so I kind of started to notice and the pain just got worse and worse and worse. And I didn't know what to do. Eventually, I wasn't able to sleep at night. I wasn't able to eat. I wasn't able to function. I was in so much pain. So on Sunday morning at 2 a.m., and the time is important, at 2 a.m., my hubby decided, I'm taking you to the ER. We have to figure out what's going on. Now, just because we went to the ER doesn't mean we didn't have faith for healing, but doctors are anointed to kind of help us out a little bit. And so he took me to the ER, and I'm thinking they're going to be like, yeah, it's just a sinus infection. Well, no, they're hooking me up on an IV. The doctor comes in with a diagnosis and he diagnosed me with a nerve disorder, and this nerve disorder is called trigeminal neuralgia. And what it is it's the nerve in my face that affects my jaw, my mouth, but it's connected to my brain. And the problem with that is you can't treat that with normal medication. And so I'm hearing words come out of his mouth like, this is a life-altering diagnosis, this is going to recur all your life, you're going to have surgery, there's possibilities of your face drooping. And as he's just saying all these things, and like my spirit on the inside of me, it rose up and it was just like, no, I do not accept that. I do not accept that. And I joked in first service, but I look over at my husband like, do you hear what he's saying? And Chad's sitting there playing a shooting game on his phone. Like, and it's not that we didn't take seriously what it was saying, but I am a child of God. My husband wasn't fazed. I live under a better covenant based on better promises. And so sickness really has no place. However, there were still symptoms. And so we went home, and I remember so clearly, I lay in the shower because I wasn't able to stand, and I cried out to God and I said, you have to heal me. I said, it isn't an option. I preach about you. I teach about you. I tell everybody how good you are, and you're not going to heal me. I say, if you don't, I'm not going to serve you anymore. And now some of you may be thinking, wow, that's really strong. But when you get to a point of desperation, that honestly death sounds better than life, you know you got to cry out for a miracle that only God can do. And so I just cried out, and I got out of that shower a different person. I went to Chad and I said, you need to go get the anointing oil downstairs. You're going to anoint my face because that's what the Bible says. So my husband prayed over my face, and I said, all right, what does the Bible say next? It says you take the sick before the elders. I need you to take me to church. I need people to pray for me. So he brings me to church. I'm like bundled up looking like a puff of fish because my face is all swollen. I didn't care. I was desperate for Jesus to touch me. And I went into Pastor Spencer's office and he laid his hands on me. Terry was there. He saw, he witnessed. Pastor Spencer laid his hands on me, and I just received my miracle right there and then. Now, I still had symptoms. That's what's funny, is the healing does take place, but what do you do about the symptoms? That's where the fight really comes. So Pastor Rhonda laid her hands on me. They prayed for me. I went home and I slept for the first time in 3 days. I slept. All of a sudden, Chad's waking me up because we have to get on a plane the next day. Pastor Rhonda and I are going to South Africa. Awesome. So Chad gets me in the car. He's packing my bags. I'm not even sure what I'm taking with me to South Africa. I'm really not coherent at that point. And they're saying to me, you know, if you don't feel okay tomorrow morning, you don't have to get on the plane, but we're really believing with you for a miracle. So we're going to go to Rochester. We're going to spend the night. And when we wake up in the morning, you give it the call. You let us know. This is why the time is important. 3 a.m. Sunday morning, I was diagnosed with a life-altering disorder. 3 a.m., my alarm went off on Monday morning. I got in the shower to get ready to go on the airplane. I'm standing in the shower and I'm like, Chad, the pain is gone. I have no pain. He is so good. He is so good. He is faithful. faithful, but we got to get desperate. So many times we just give up. We see the symptoms and we think, well, he's not still here. The healing power doesn't work today. Or we accept, what did I do wrong? I did something wrong. No, God is a healer and he will heal you if you just step out in faith and believe it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is always the answer. It was incredible when she came down Monday morning because she looked really rough before that. Even the swelling and everything was completely gone from her face. She looked like a brand new person. But Jesus is always the answer. And then we were able to get on a plane and go do the mission that God had set for us in South Africa. And I just want to say that one person can change a region. One person can have such a profound impact. Jade's mom, Janita, started with a vision to have a No More Hurt conference at her church. One person that was passionate to make this happen. And she went to all of those that she influences. And then they went to all of those that they influence. And then they went to their influences. And when all was said and done, they had sold 432 tickets for Jesus being the answer. These women so boldly, and it was awesome because this wasn't even the church. They hadn't even announced it in church. They went to their coworkers. They went to their employees. They went to their friends and their family members, and they brought them out. One woman brought 40 people from her bank, and they were completely unchurched women that showed up for this conference, and Jesus showed up and had his way in that place. And so many women's lives were changed and transformed. One woman who is a businesswoman, very influential in the financial market there in South Africa, she went back to her place of employment, well, where she's the boss and employs people, and looked at her employees and was just quoting, "I cannot afford to be offended. I cannot afford to be offended." She said it's her new mantra. I cannot afford to be offended. So the work there was so powerful and awesome. And now we have several of the ladies using their influence to further what God has started. So we weren't stopping just with the conference. Now they're going to be doing Bible studies with the class that we have recorded here, the 8-week class. They're going to be taking that and bringing these unchurched women to a place of salvation and church. And I forgot to say in first service, this was a true dedication for these women to come and stay all day long. It was the hottest day, 97% humidity. I was saturated by the end of that. My hair was, everything was soaked. So it was such a labor of love for them to even, of hunger even, for them to stay in that place for the duration and allow God to touch their lives. So God did an incredible thing in that place. And I just want to encourage every single one of you with the same boldness that these women in South Africa used. They didn't go to their church friends that go other places and that kind of stuff. They went to the unchurched because they knew that Jesus is the answer. I want to encourage you. Go to your boss. Go to your coworkers. Go to your employees. Jesus is really the answer that every single one of them need. We need to boldly go. We need to fill this place, this house, with the same passion that those women filled that house with, that Jesus is the answer. And Jade is a living testimony of Jesus being the answer, because without that, who knows what would have even transpired at that point. But Jesus is the answer. Amen. Amen. Pastor Spencer.
1, 2, 3. Now, please be patient with us. We're playing with a new microphone. Might be a little tinny. Is it perfect? Very good. If you remember all of these guys, these are the envelopes that you have given when Brother Avanzini was here, and you signed and declared, "I'm going to tithe for 1 year." And I want to pray over those. But Bishop Thomas, our bishop down in Florida, was so excited about this that he said, "I want to give every family that dedicated to tithe for 1 year my book for free." He's sewing over about $3,500 worth of books. They're in my room right now. And we're going to be giving those out to all of those that made the declaration that they're going to tithe for one whole year. So I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these families, God, these individuals who've declared, Lord, that they're going to share the wealth with you. And that, God, that they're going to have that open heaven. I declare in the name of Jesus that the devil will not be able to discourage them, that the devil will not be able to redirect them, but that, Lord, they will step into the principles of your word and see great success. Lord, we give you the honor and the praise for all of those. And, Lord, we thank you for prosperity in every facet of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. The name of the book is called Your Path to Plenty, Keys to Super Abundance. So I can't wait to give those out. We're going to be doing that right after one of the, this year, after one of the offerings. And we'll be handing them out to you, praying over you and blessing you and just thanking you for your faithfulness, not to us, but to God's kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. As we enter into this time of prosperity, because our God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children, we are offering and providing for each of you this year a Happy Birthday King Jesus envelope so that we're able to, as a family, prepare our gifts for our generous King, who is the greatest giver of all. And you know, it's amazing. It's the only person on their own birthday where everybody else gets gifts besides them. So this year, we want to make sure that we are giving a gift of gratitude and thanks to our King. On Christmas Sunday, we'll be taking a special, well, it'll be the same time as the offering, but we will be bringing our gifts for the King to the Lord. So you have them in your bulletin, but we also have envelopes provided up here up front, and you're able to get them in the hub. But make sure you get your envelope so you can go home with your family and prepare your gift for the King for our Christmas service. And today, the Word of God says in Malachi 3 that when you obey and tithe, that we walk under an open heaven. And as Brother Avanzini shared with us, it is not just finances. Now, it is finances, but it's not finances alone under the open heaven. It is healing, health, prosperity, restoration. It's every aspect. Pastor Jade is a walking testimony of an open heaven in her health. That is the kind of open heaven that we walk in when we choose to obey God's word. Amen. Are you ready to walk in that open heaven? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the word of God. And listen, I want you to declare this over your life like you mean it, because you are prophesying, you are speaking to your situations, life and hope. Deuteronomy 28, repeat after me. It says, I am blessed. No, it says, if I obey. Oh, I was trying to jump right into the blessing. All right. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Oh,
more bondage, I am free. Yeah. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're free? Amen. We've been excited. It's been a great year so far. We've had, can you believe it's almost over? Can you believe 2017 is, we're almost done 2017. It is a crazy fast year. Is anybody with me? I you know, they always heard it said in the old days, well, you know, the older you go, the older you are, the faster the years go by. And you're always thinking, yeah, well, I understand. No, it's true, isn't it? Isn't it crazy how fast it goes? Today, I'm so excited to preach this message because this is the Christmas season. How many of you love Christmas? I'm one of those. We got our Christmas tree last night and put it in the back of the pickup truck, and we had Chad back there, Pastor Chad. I said, make sure it doesn't fly out of the back of the pickup truck. So he picked up a 50-pound bag of bird seed and threw it on the back of it, and he went, oops. And I didn't hear the oops, but my wife did. At the end of it, I went back there, and sure enough, he snapped off branches. Thanks a lot. Did you know you snapped off branches? Snapped off branches of our Christmas tree. I love Christmas. Christmas is so much fun. I love the fact of the seasons. Listen, when I got up and it was snowing this morning, I didn't go, oh my goodness, I shouldn't go to church. I went, yes! Because each snowflake is so diverse, it just shows the greatness of God in our life. And what greater day to praise Him than today? Can I hear an amen? Amen. We can all just praise Him also that we don't live up near Buffalo. That's a whole song of deliverance anyways, amen? I guess in New England they got a foot and a half of snow. I thank God I don't live there either. I thank God we live right here. This is where God wants you. Last week we were talking about the season of forgiveness. How many of you are thankful that Jesus forgave you of your sins? Well, that's not too many of you. I said, how many of you are thankful that Jesus forgave you of your sins? Amen. How many of you stepped into learning how to forgive yourself last week? How many of you started forgiving yourself last week? Amen. How many of you actually forgave somebody else last week? Like you went out of your way and you made sure that they knew that you asked their forgiveness. How many did that? How many of you found that was tough? Wasn't it tough? It is tough learning to forgive other people. But if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. We don't like to talk about that verse, but that's an important verse. So how many of you know you got somebody you need to forgive before Christmas? Boy, some of you are pretty free. I like that. Amen. Or you're liars and now you've just sinned and now you need deliverance. Glory to God. So last week was the season of deliverance. This week I want to talk about the season of forgiveness. This week I want to talk about the season of deliverance. Just as Jesus loves forgiving you, Jesus loves and can't wait to deliver you. What does deliver mean? It means liberation. It means freedom. It means emancipation. It means that you're not being held or owned by anybody or anything. How many of you know if you're owned by anything, that is your owner? When you're owned by something, it is horrible. And man, I can't tell you how many people I've watched, they live a life of ownership and not that of Christ. And God wants you to be free. The Bible says in the book of John, and that's the verse we're using today, found in John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Son has set you free and you're free indeed, but you're not free indeed, has the Son set you free? Well, the actual answer to that is yes. But what I have found is that the most of the people that are remaining in bondage are remaining in bondage because they refuse to be free. It's a choice. Freedom is a choice. Freedom is an opportunity. Not everybody takes that freedom. Not everybody makes that choice to be free. In fact, sadly enough, in America today, we find that in the church world, I watch people go on this roller coaster ride with the Lord. One minute they're excited about Jesus, the next minute they're upset with God. One minute they're in church, the next minute they're out of church. One minute they have victory in their life, the next minute they have great defeat in their life. Well, why is that? God never called us to live a roller coaster ride with Christ. Why is that? It's because many believers are not stepping into their freedom. They are free and free indeed, but still living tethered to their past, to their problems, and to their sins. In fact, I'd like to show you a real quick example of that, if you don't mind. Can I have the SWAT team come on out? Hi, guys. How are you? Dude, you're fresh, aren't you? We're going to mess you up today, I promise. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hey, Al.
Hi.
Come on over here. So here we have people that are going to run the race. And listen, every one of them are going to have the same goal. It's whoever can get to this present first that's going to win. Who's ever going to get there and be able to pick it up, and it's theirs. But you see, each one of these people represents somebody born again. They represent you. They represent you having come to the front and given your heart to Christ, and you've made a true confession of your faith, and truly, genuinely, if you die today, you're going to go to heaven. But you see, how many of you know you're not in heaven yet? Not enough. How many of you know you're not in heaven yet? You're not in heaven yet. You're living here. You see, many believers don't realize that Christ's freedom is not for when you get to heaven, but for right now. You don't need freedom when you get to heaven. You're completely free when you get to heaven. You need freedom now. And the freedom that Christ has paid for means that you as a believer can live in victory and not defeat. That you are more than a conqueror, not a loser. That anything that comes in front of you, you can overcome. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That no sin is more powerful in your life. But you see, the truth is that we have different believers in our lives. And this might be you here this morning. You see, what we don't realize is that we're all somewhat, here you go. We all somewhat struggle in our lives. And what's interesting about what we're doing right here, right now, is that this cellophane, you can't see it. But it doesn't change its power in your life. What I find is that most people that are in bondage don't even realize it. They don't understand. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether they understand or not. Hold your feet apart a little bit more. The other way. There we go. Here. Shapers. Don't move. Stop moving, Alan. Stop moving. Some of us are in bondage. Stop moving, Alan. Some of us are in bondage in different ways, in different levels. And this is what I find is that it's not that you're not going to get to heaven. It's not that you don't love God. But in your life, you're wrapped in some level of sin. In some level of past, in some level of lifestyle that is going to hold you back from running in freedom. You know, come here, kid. Hand straight down. Lord Jesus, protect me. Got it? Lord, 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 Lord. See, some of you are so dizzy because, you know, some of you in your bondage, it's not like you're not living some level of freedom. It's not that you don't have some level of liberty. Alan can move his head around pretty good, right? There you go. But then you have people that really get it. And they've chosen not to be in bondage. They've chosen to cut off the things of the past that are going to hold them from their future. See, the truth is that the only thing that can hold you from God's purpose for your life is what you allow to tether you from your past. You have to be delivered from the things of your past. And some of you are allowing these things in your life that you're still presently playing with. My wife went to go get the Christmas decorations, and they're up in the attic, and she said, well, you got two mice, or at least half of one's left. That's awesome. I was after those mice. You play with that mousetrap long enough and snap, let's go get you. And the great part about deliverance is that Jesus delivered you from the mousetrap. Jesus delivered you from sin. Jesus delivered you from your past. Jesus delivered you from your addictions. Jesus delivered you from every area of your life that's going to hold you back. But you see, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're delivered. And this is a real problem we've had in the body of Christ. Because we get a lot of people that come up to the front and give their hearts to the Lord. But when it comes time to start living the life for Christ, they're not living the life because they're not delivered from those things in their past that are keeping them from their future. Sadly enough, they either don't know about it or they like it too much because, let's be honest, what is the purpose of cellophane? It's preservation. Some of you are still preserving your own lifestyle because you don't want to run with everything that God has for you. You're comfortable with it because you're all wrapped up tight in it. And God said we got to lay aside those things that so easily beset us. That sin that's in our life that we know is going to destroy us. Listen, it might not destroy you today, but let's be straight. Sin always costs. It doesn't just cost you. Sin is never just a one-person effect. Sin affects everybody. That's everybody around you. The impact and the impartation is horrific. So here we have three people that love the Lord. You love the Lord? I can't hear you.
Yeah,
you love the Lord? Alan, you love the Lord?
Yes.
Marge, you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you guys stay right here. We're going to have a race. On your mark. Get set. Now remember, you got to pick it up with your hands. Go. How'd you do?
I got it.
You got it? Free people always get their blessing. Now, did you see something? Come here, Alan. Did you notice with Alan, he had a little bit more freedom to run. But it doesn't mean he wasn't in bondage. What I love about the Lord is this, is when deliverance is starting in your life, is that very few times does God deliver you from everything. You know, you come into the gospel, you're a cusser. You're dropping the F word every other word. Y'all kept quiet on that one. You've been drinking for 5 or 6 years and you can't go a day without a drink. Smoking, man, you come into the gospel, you come to the front, you give your heart to the Lord. You know, you're probably not going to be delivered from all of, not that you can't be, and I've watched God deliver people. I watched God here take a man that was a cocaine addict and a 20-year alcoholic. He drank what's that stuff called? I'm not a good drinker. No. Vodka. He drank vodka for 20 years. He never had a DT. I'm talking like a lot of vodka. God can deliver you immediately. But what happens to most of us is that God gets in our life and he'll free our hands. Thanks, Alan. And he'll start freeing us one little piece at a time. Do you realize that if I grab all of these at the same time and start pulling them, guess what will happen? There's too much strength. It's going to be hard for me to pull off. So what God does is he takes one little piece at a time. And this is where our life of obedience comes into play. Where we start to obey God. And then all of a sudden, each level that he sets us free in deliverance, now Alan is completely free. Come on, run down to the end and run back. Now let me ask you a question. Is it better being free or better being bound?
Free.
Doesn't that make sense? But then you have people that are born again. They truly love the Lord, but they're bound. And they don't want to get unbound. They don't want to be free. Now, no matter how much he wants to be free right now, what happens is when you choose not to live in freedom and you fall down, it's very hard to get back up. So you've got to make decisions in your life. Where are you going?
Nowhere.
I know. That's what happens. Come on, can I hear a witness? Man, you love the Lord, but man, you have chosen to remain in a sin. And I want you to know something, that Jesus set you free from sin. The Bible says that you're no longer a slave to sin. Romans chapter 6. You're no longer bound in sin. There's not one sin that has a right and is more powerful than the Christ Jesus that's inside of you. Can I hear an amen? You see, that's the best part about the presence that the Lord has given us, is that we have this big present, and this is what I love about the season of deliverance, is we have this big present, and inside that big present of the season of deliverance is we have the season of freedom from sin. We don't have to remain in sin. He gave us a gift. This gift is the power over every single sin that's in our life. But if Jalen doesn't want this sin, he doesn't want to be free, then he's bound whether he can see it or not. I can't honestly tell you how many people I have watched walk away from Jesus because they refuse to give away a little sin. It's the little foxes that ruin the vine. It wasn't some big, massive sin. It was a little sin that they have the freedom, the gift to be free from it, but they choose not to be. So they get all wrapped up. You see, while he's down, I have the right to kick him. Punch him. I can do whatever I want to him. You can laugh as much as you want, but guess what the devil does to you? And he has a right to do it because you've chosen not to be free. Freedom is a choice. I'm not saying freedom doesn't cost. Talk to anybody who's ever, ever been in the armed forces and has gone to war. Freedom costs. But man, what you get from freedom is far greater than what you get from bondage.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
What I love about the Lord is that many people, sadly enough, they don't come to themselves early enough. They get saved, genuine, born again. He loves the Lord. But he's chosen to live this life of sin. He's chosen to have soul ties. He's chosen to have addictions. He's chosen to have habits that will keep him in bondage. But the moment he starts making a decision, I no longer want to be in bondage. Jesus, I'm going to give this up. Some of you got to give up some of your friends. Some of you got to give up the locations you go to because you know every time you go there, it's going to draw you into sin and bring you back into bondage. It's not that you don't love God, but you love the sin more than you love God. So all of a sudden he makes a decision. I want to start getting out of this thing. And he says, Lord, I need deliverance. Listen, it might not all happen at the same time. Piece by piece. 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 And then you're free. This is a choice in the kingdom. Listen, I hope you don't mind, but I'm enjoying this message because it is something that is very powerful. And sadly enough, as a pastor, I watch thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of people walk away from God. Thousands of people walk away from their destiny. Thousands of people that walk away from their presence. Oh my goodness, they walk away from their healing. Do you realize if you're not right with God, then you don't have an open heaven? If you don't have an open heaven, you can get healed as a sinner. But the Bible said that Jesus said, listen, go and sin no more, lest a greater thing comes upon you. You have the freedom in here of demonic habits. We have a bunch of preachers out there right now. God rebuke them in the name of Christ. That are running around with beer bottles and alcohol in their hands and sitting on Instagram saying, I'm a preacher of a church and I still drink. I want you to know that it's destroying families. I've watched, listen, I call it being owned by liquid. I've watched so many families being destroyed because they were owned by liquid. I've watched so many relationships destroyed because of the power of a liquid. And I'm here to tell you today, whether you're addicted to cigarettes, whether you're addicted, listen, I know there are people in this church, you're in your 40s and you're still smoking weed. Well, Pastor, I just need a glass of wine and maybe just just one joint to give me relaxation. If you need that, that means you're seeking after something besides the Prince of Peace. You're in bondage. You see, this is, I don't know about you, would you rather be free or bound? Would you, honestly?
Yeah.
You didn't mind that though, did you?
No, I'm not.
You know he wants his freedom. He made a choice. Freedom is a choice. You got to know about it. And that's why you got to tell your friends that Jesus is the answer. Amen. But once someone accepts the Lord, now you have to start learning. Man, everybody in this room should already be part of Rock Solid Faith or Next Step One. If you're not part of Next Step One, my question is, how are you going to know what's yours? You've got to grow in your relationship with the Lord. Know what your victories are. Sadly enough, thank you all. Can you give my hand clap on their way out? Sadly, what I see more of than lack of is the fact that people go and live a lifestyle that's not a godly lifestyle. Now, I'm not talking they didn't accept the Lord. I mean, they genuinely received the Lord, but they genuinely did not make a decision to truly run after Christ. So they remain in some level of addiction. They remain in some level of sin. They remain in some level. So, you know, they start drinking their lifestyle that's against God, that's keeping them in bondage. You got it out of you, didn't you? But they don't keep it there. I told them to put milk in there. It's not milk. You know what the Bible says? The dog returns to his vomit. Every one of you grossed out. If you're not, you're just gross. But what's amazing about it is we do it with our freedom in Christ. We do that with our liberty in Jesus. We do that with our lifestyle and our choices, where he whom the Son has set free is free indeed, where there's nothing owning us, nothing controlling us, nothing manipulating us, only Jesus Christ. In him I live and move and have my being. But we go back and we start drinking the drink of the past. And then we start eating the vomit that we already gave up once. We can't understand why we struggle in our Christian lifestyle. We struggle because, honestly, most people don't remain free or never get free. But you see, this is the season of deliverance. This is what Jesus came and he died on a cross for. This is why the Messiah came down here, not just for our forgiveness, but for our deliverance. Because if it was just for forgiveness, he would have left us in bondage. If he left us in bondage, then we'd have no freedom and liberty. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the risen Messiah, the baby who came in that little manger, he gave us gifts that nobody else can have except for those who call him Father, except for those who are washed in the blood. And those gifts are that you can be delivered from the things that have held you back. You can be delivered from your sin. You can be delivered from your addictions. You can be delivered from relationships. You can be delivered from a wounded heart. You can be delivered in your mind. God has set you free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Unless you want to go back. You wouldn't do it, but you'd do it all the time. You do it all the time. The next time you go out drinking with your buddies, just grab some puke. Next time you start rolling a joint with your buds, hey, mix it with a little vomit. Next time you start laying with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, come on, just grab a little vomit. And you're saying, listen, I want to be free. But freedom means you don't live the same thing that you used to live. Are you out there? Am I all by myself? I'm going to end with this. How many have ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? We had a horrible time in our history of America, and it's literally, you know, we talk about America, but honestly, slavery is all over the world, and slavery today is very much all over the world. In fact, one of our men just went to Nepal to deliver, I think they, how many young people did they deliver? 12 girls, one all the way down to the age of 5 from sex slavery in the country of Nepal. Slavery is a very normal thing. In fact, let's be straight up, you know, it's a demonic thing, because slavery declares not freedom but bondage. And man, we had a president and his name was Lincoln, and he signed something called the Emancipation Proclamation. Down on the plantations, they used to own slaves. Now, it wasn't just down. They had slaves in New England. They had slaves out west, slaves in Texas. They had slaves everywhere. But there came a point in time when our president declared that nobody should be owned, that it was horrific and it was a non-God thing. That's what I loved about Lincoln. He stood for the things of the word, and that is freedom. Amen? And so he signed something called the Emancipation Proclamation. And that was from the federal government that slavery was no longer allowed in the United States of America, that it was against the law. The Emancipation Proclamation, the document, was sent out to all the plantation owners, to all those who owned slaves, and they received those documents. But many of the slaves did not read. Many of the slaves did not know. In fact, let's be straight, the only ones who usually were able to be, were educated enough to read were the slaves that were allowed into the homes. These slaves served in the homes. And what they would do is they would serve the master. They would learn how to read. They would learn how to write. Well, one day, one of the slaves came across the desk as he was cleaning, came across the desk of the Emancipation Proclamation, and he read it, a legal document declaring that they were free, no longer allowed to be owned. He got so excited, so exhilarated, he ran out into the fields. We're free! We're free! We're no longer owned! We've been free! Here's the document! The owner did not tell them. I want you to know the devil will never tell you that you're free. He'll never tell you that you're free. He ran out into the field declaring the freedom, and a whole group of the slaves, they were no longer slaves, but freed men. And they walked off that plantation, and they walked off to lead the life of destiny. They walked off to lead a life of success. They walked off, but a whole group of them remained on the plantation saying this, well, this is the way it's always been. This is all I know. This is where I eat. This is where I sleep. This is my comfort zone. And I want you to know that a whole group of people that were no longer slaves but freed people by the United States government still remained on the plantations in bondage. And in the kingdom, there are a lot of people that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The Emancipation Proclamation has been signed by the blood of the Messiah. We are free! We are free! We are free from sin! We are free from addictions! We are free from demonic habits! We are free in Jesus' name! But yet so many remain in the fields. It's amazing that so many have given up their freedom for a temporary satisfaction. After the Emancipation Proclamation, some slave owners hid the news from their slaves of their freedom. It was not until Major General Gordon Granger arrived with 2,000 troops traveling into Galveston, Texas, that many slaves learned of their freedom. One woman, a former slave named Tempe Cummins, told the Federal Writers Project in 1939 that her mother overheard the master say that the slaves didn't know that they were free, and he wasn't going to tell them until after another crop or two came in. Cummings and her mom ran away that night. Not ran away from bondage, but ran into freedom. You see, today you might not ever have known that you were free. And I've got great news for you. This is the season of deliverance. It's a great season for you. Jesus has so much for you. Jesus has so many gifts and goals and blessings for you. It is not survival on this planet. It is being more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus our Lord. It might cost you. It might cost you some friends. It might cost you some lifestyle that you're used to. But baby, that saran wrap is only keeping you tethered, never allowing you to run. And today, I want to give you the opportunity to be prayed for. See, I believe that Jesus is the answer. Religion is not, but Jesus is. Jesus rose from the dead. And he accomplished everything that was needed to make sure that you and I don't have to live in bondage. Some of you got soul ties. You had bad relationships in the past. And they keep pulling at you. Do you know that right now, the majority of people leaving their families are not the men, but the women? Women, you need to be aware of a demonic attack that's coming against your life. Women are leaving, I'm talking pastors' wives too, leaving their husbands by the droves through Facebook. Old soul ties they never broke that drew them back and destroyed their relationships. You've got to make a decision. Do you want to be free or do you want to be bound? Do you want to be emancipated or do you want to be controlled? It's nobody else's decision but you. I choose to be free. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. But one thing I have learned is that I'd rather be free than in bondage. Amen? Have you ever been arrested? Don't raise your hand. had the cuffs put on you. You know you're not going anywhere quickly. Why? Because you're now, you've lost a level of freedom. Today I challenge you. Don't lose your freedoms. They're free gift. And today, if you are bound in any manner, I want you to know that today, Christ can start that process. It might not be all of them at the same time, one little piece at a time, but you're going to get free. You're going to get free. You're going to get free, and you're going to be able to run. You're not going to have to hop. You're not going to have to waddle. You can run without being restricted. That's the plan of God for your life. And that's what I personally, and my wife as well, we planted in our children. This is what you got to live, because this is where true satisfaction comes, when you're living in the freedom of Christ. Amen? I love that. Bow your heads with me this morning. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. You see, whether you're bound by sickness, disease, whether you're bound by an emotion, soul tie, something from the past, whether you're bound by unforgiveness, whether you're bound by a sin that nobody else even knows about, I want you to know that today, freedom is available for you. How is it possible that freedom is available to me, Pastor? I don't understand. How can it happen by me going up front and getting prayed for? Because there's a power called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the anointing, the supernatural power of God, destroys every yoke of bondage. Today, Jesus has freedom for you. And you deserve to be free. It was already paid for. It was already signed for. And the devil has no right to keep you in bondage another second. Unless you want to be. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never accepted Him as your Lord, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition, and you know in your heart of hearts that if you died today, you will not go to heaven. And today you want to be free. Maybe you're watching my live stream right now. You want to be free. There's somebody right now that's right there, right with you. If you'll talk to them right now on that live stream, you'll find that they're going to lead you to Christ. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus and you want Him in your life, you want to be free. You're determined to be free, to fulfill everything that God has for your destiny. And that's you. I want you to raise your hand up right now. I need Jesus in my life. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? I need Jesus. Thank you, young lady. I need Jesus in my life. Come on now. Come on. I need Jesus in my life. Don't let your moment pass of freedom. This is where the key is. It's right here, right now. Is there anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Come on. Come on. You feel the Holy Ghost. He's touching you right now. You feel that. You feel that. Get your hand up. Get your hand up. Thank you, sir. This is not religion. God's calling you. He's got a purpose for you. You are so important to Jesus. 5, come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, come on, if you don't have it up now, come on, get it up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Today, if you're in bondage in any area of your life, whether it's sickness, we already said all the different names of what these things could be. I want you to know that these people are qualified, and they already know how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They know how to cast out devils. They know how to bind spirits of bondage and oppression. They know how to bring freedom in your life by just the simple laying on of hands in Jesus' name. And today, if you accepted Jesus as your heart, can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. Come on, turn to the person next to you. Don't assume they know. Don't assume it wasn't them. I'll go with you. If you raise your hand, I want you to grab that person next to you. I want you to meet me right here, right now, right in the front. Come on, be bold. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come this morning. Give them a hand clap as they come. Come on, come on, come out of your chair. It's your moment. God's got great things. Love you, buddy. I'm not going to wait long. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be up here, come on now. This is your moment. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Last call. Amen. Folks, this is Mindy. I don't know what she's got on her, some sheep. But she's gonna pray with you. Make sure you know your walk with the Lord is solid. We got a Bible for you, dude. I'm proud of you. Proud of you. Run all the way with Jesus. Proud of you, baby girl. Young lady, very proud of you. Hand didn't even stop. Shot right up. Proud of you. Go right on over here with Mindy. She's gonna pray with you right there. Can you give him another hand clap? Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. That means six people have received Jesus in their heart today alone. I don't know about you, that's something. That's a reason to shout, amen? They went from darkness to light. They went from bondage to freedom in Jesus' name. Now, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is right here. When we dismiss, I want you to realize your mission for this next week is to make sure you fill your role for Christmas season. We've got one more week on the season of, I'll tell you what it is, not until next week. One more week on this series. You don't want to miss it. It is awesome to realize the presence that God has for you. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. I love you. And make sure you lead someone to Jesus today.